Let's have a chat. I'm Eliza.
And I'm Sarah, and today we're going to be talking about driving.
Woo!
Love it.
But guys, can you notice like a difference in the audio?
There's no like delays or anything?
Guess what? Oh wait.
You've had your guess? You ready?
We're together! We're in the Macca's car park
in my car because I turned 18 a week ago and I got my driver's license. Cue driver's license by Olivia Rodrigo. I got my
driver's license last week.
It works! Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that beautiful scene call.
So Sarah drove me here to Macca's. We obviously had Macca's.
Obviously.
And now we're recording this episode.
Woo! So if we pause at any time, it's probably because we're looking at someone around us in the car park and being like, don't look at us.
Got our recording gear out and we're looking very professional right now.
Very, very fancy. But yeah, that's a little spicy. Eliza, what is your life update for us?
I mean, nothing's really, of course, happening new.
Mm.
Yeah.
Love it.
Sarah, I just like got in Sarah's car and drove away. Oh, next Wednesday, I do have my school ensemble for drama, Unit 1. So that'll be a bit spicy, a bit interesting. We'll see how that goes. No, it'll be good. I'm excited because we've been literally working on our performance for 2 terms. So
love it.
It'll be good.
That sounds very exciting.
Besides driving?
Yeah, everything has happened. I feel like we have weeks where, like, everything happens and then weeks where, like, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like this week has been an everything week for me because in the last week, it is Saturday currently, and I turned 18. I turned 18 just over a week ago. I turned 18 last Friday. So that's very spicy.
That was a week ago.
Yeah, it was.
It was 8 days.
8 days. Anyway, and it is so weird. Everyone's like, do you feel any different? And I'm like, no, I literally feel the same. Like, I don't feel like I'm an adult because I've been like a kid and like 17 and younger for so long.
Have you drunk alcohol?
Yeah, I've drunk like a little bit like somewhere. It didn't taste like that nice. I've had a cruiser. I'm going to be one of those basic girls. Yes, I admit it. That just has like raspberry flavored drinks because like I need the sugar people. Just straight alcohol is a bit like bleh for me.
Yeah.
I'm a very like sweet person. So
really?
Yeah. I
had no idea.
Oh, you couldn't tell. But yeah, so it's been funky. I've got my driver's license, had my test. And that's what we're going to
talk about. I got my driver's license last week. Just like we always talked about. Because we did talk about it.
Hey! See, this song relates perfectly to us. That is the theme song for this episode, people.
Whoa.
But yeah, so that's been my little life update. Got my driver's license, turned 18, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll jump into it.
Love
it. If you didn't hear at the start, we are doing a driving episode because, as we know, Sarah
has got her driver's license.
I have my L's. Sarah, why don't you share how many hours of driving you had on your L's when you got your P's?
That is a great question. I'm actually going to open up the My Learner's app.
Because we have to be very specific.
Very specific. And also because I haven't opened it since I went for my test. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I can still open it. And I can. Well, I was so close. So I had 353 hours in total.
And 12 minutes.
12 minutes. But 294 hours of those hours were day and then 59 hours were night. I was like, if I only had a few more hours of both, I would have hit like 360 and that would have been really satisfying. But I didn't quite hit that because we were like tracking it. And because of COVID, I would have made an extra 100 hours. But yeah. And the reason I got so many hours, because most people usually only get like 120 hours or the hours need, is because I live 45 minutes away from church, which I go to on Fridays for youth and Sundays for church. So it's an hour and a half round trip both days. So that's 3 hours out of my week every week that I had like straight for that, let alone driving everywhere else. So that is how I got so many hours.
And don't feel disheartened if you don't get that many hours because – as he said, Victorian law states you only need 120. But yeah, speaking of hours, I am on, let's actually get the exact.
Here we go.
I have, okay, what month is it? It's May?
May. So you've got like 8 months, I think.
8 months. Yeah, all right. So we'll keep you guys updated, obviously. But I have 107 hours and 39 minutes. So
you are like,
we're getting there.
Almost 12 hours off.
Yeah. And like, obviously, as we said, you only need 120. So technically when I get 120, I could literally stop driving, but I like driving. So I'm not going to do that.
That's another thing, is 20 of those hours need to be night hours.
Yeah.
That I feel like are the hardest ones to get. They're easy to get during winter when it goes dark at like 5 or 6. So driving to things at night, like driving to sports and stuff, you can get them up. But during summer, it's a pain when it doesn't go dark until like 8.
And some people, like, they really struggle to get their hours up. But I think it's just like driving it, like, pretty much every opportunity you get. Obviously, if you don't want to drive, then don't drive.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, just literally driving at every opportunity and making sure that that you're not too tired, obviously.
Yeah, and that's another thing, is literally the app stops recording at 2 hours. Like, it won't let you record. If you go, like, on a 3-hour trip, like, it will have stopped at 2 hours. I think this happened for me. Oh, I accidentally left it recording once, and I forgot about it until, like, next time I went back on the app, and it just capped it at 2 hours, even though it'd been, like, 3 or 4 hours by that point. So it automatically caps it too, because to be a reminder that, like, you need to have breaks need to in have between. A break.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I can't drive for 2 hours. Like, I don't really understand, because driving, it doesn't seem like it's that exhausting. But after about, at about an hour and a half, I'm like, I'm a bit tired now. And then, like, sometimes I'm literally struggling to keep my eyes open, which is obviously dangerous, so I swap. me and my dad. Me and my dad, we drove back from Sydney a few months ago. And I think the most I did at one time was like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And like, literally all I need is like a 20-minute break.
Yeah.
And just to look at the road without having to look at the road.
Yeah. Because when you're in a passenger seat, you don't realize that, like, you're not looking. I mean, obviously, like, if something happens on the side of the road, you're like, oh, or like if a car's about to veer in your lane, you're like, ah, or something. Mm. And like, you obviously look for, like, you know, stuff that could happen, but like, you're not as focused as when you are actually driving,
obviously,
and being like aware of all the road obstacles and everything like that. Like, even on my driver's test, it was only, that's another thing we'll go into, it was only 20 minutes for me, but I felt like tired at the end of that because I'd focused so hard. Because I was like, I can't, if anyone like comes near the car, if there's another car, another pedestrian, I need to slow down, be aware of them, all this stuff.
And make it obvious that you're aware.
Yes.
Like, you kind of have to over-exaggerate your driving.
That is one thing I will say, is look in. Everyone says it, but make sure to obviously look in your, like, rear vision mirrors and your side mirrors when you are driving, and especially on the test. Like, don't just, like, glance, like, literally move your whole head to look at it. Just make it real obvious that you're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. So should we talk about your driving test, Sarah?
Yes.
Let's go into very deep details. Every minute we want to be accounted for.
Love it. Well, that could take, actually, it won't be that long, because usually the driving test is 30 minutes or over. So I had a friend that hers took 35. Usually I think it's 10 minutes of stage one and 20 minutes of stage two. So stage one is basically their area where they get you to drive around, you know, some quiet roads near the center, some streets, and they will get you to perform the 3-point turn or parallel park in that stage. That's in the first bit. So they get you drive around the streets because they don't want to, they want to make sure that you can actually, like, keep control of the car and everything, and not that you can actually drive. That you can actually drive. And then you perform at the 3-point turn or parallel park. And then if you have passed that, they'll pull you over to the side of the road, say,
do they tell you at the start what you're doing?
Nope. You find out, basically. So I pulled into a street. So within like 5 minutes of hopping in the car.
Do they tell you where to go?
Yes, they tell you. So that's another thing, is they will tell you that not to talk on the test. You don't get to talk. So, like, obviously, if something's about to happen or like a crash or something, like, you talk. And there was at one point where I braked before a light because it turned to orange. And thank goodness my natural instinct was like brake, because usually my instinct is to accelerate. And I don't know why my instinct was to brake, but I was like, literally, like, every red light, every like orange light I see on the test, I need to
brake.
Obviously, as long as like you're not literally going through it, because that'd be dumb. But
Or if there's a car right behind you, that's
yes, that is another thing you need to look at during the test, is rear vision mirrors, and keeping, every time you brake, you need to look in your rear vision mirror to make
sure before you brake, not while you're braking.
Before you brake, just to make sure that there's no car right up behind you that could like crash.
I mean, obviously that would be their fault, but still not a great look for you.
Exactly. And so, like when that happened, when I went, like, you know, braked at the orange light, I was like, I said, like, quietly, I was like, oh, sorry. And she was like, nope, that's fine. I was a girl, which was really good. And but she warned me just before the test that, you know, they won't be talking. She will repeat instructions. So she'll be like, at the lights, turn left, and then at the street, turn right, and da-da-da-da. And if you need explanation, they will explain to you. They can repeat the instructions. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, within a few minutes.
Turn left. What does that mean?
Exactly.
Which way is left?
Which way is left? That's the easiest way to fail, probably. But, yeah, so I was on, like, a side street within, like, a few minutes, and we're pulling into a street, and I had a bunch of cars down the side, and she says, when you think it is safe, complete a three-point turn. So that was the key thing, is they said, when you think it is safe, not complete a three-point turn now, but you decide. So I kept moving up every driveway being like, I can't do a three-point turn into there because there's cars either side of it. And I kept moving until I finally found a driveway. It was almost at the end of the road. And I'm like, I'm going to have to find a driveway or else I'm just going to have to say it's not safe. And I found this driveway, and it was the skinniest driveway in the whole street, and it was a gravel driveway. It was like the worst. Within 10 minutes I was like, oh, this is going fast. Stage two was basically just driving. We moved onto the highway. It was a lot of changing lanes. She'd be like, when you think it is safe, move to the right lane. Then I moved to the right lane. She's like, when you think it is safe, move to the left lane. Move to the left lane. And she's like, when you think it's safe, move to the right lane, and then complete a right turn or something. And she'd tell like you when to do it. One of the key things she said most of the time, it, like, when moving around or stuff, was when you think it is safe. So, yeah. Obviously, don't move if there's a car. It doesn't.
If they say move now, don't move.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's watched the movie, Someone's Horrible, Terrible, No Good.
Oh, I was thinking it was someone, Alexander's. Or
and someone does their driving test, and yes. The instructor's like, oh, your girlfriend's calling, pick up the phone. And they're like, pick up the phone, pick up the phone, pick up the phone. And he's like, no, I can't pick up the phone, I'm driving. She's like, it's fine, it's fine. And then he picks it up, and she's like, fail! So, obviously, just do stuff that's safe.
Yes, make sure it is safe. And most of the time as well, they're there to help you pass. So, they're not going to be like, you know, pick up your phone. Another thing I would say is don't take your phone, or if you have, like, any smartwatches, don't take that with you. I took my Apple Watch off before the test because I get notifications and stuff on my watch. So, sometimes I feel little beeps. And I was like, if that happens on the test and I go to look at it or something, that would be, like, a fail. So, I put, like, both my phone and my Apple Watch in the boot for the test, so I didn't have any distractions.
When you go on the test, do you time it on your app?
No, you don't. Well, because you have the hours already.
Yeah,
so you should have the hours already because they check the hours beforehand.
Yeah.
So it doesn't count. So if you fail, it doesn't count as like more hours or something.
Did you show her? And she was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I did. She was like, oh, so do you have they asked if you have the logbook or the app. And I was like, I have the app. If she was like, do you mind getting it up for me? I got it up. And I was like, oh, yeah, I have 353. And she was like, oh, wow. I think that was another reason it only took like 20 minutes in total.
Because she knows.
She knows that I obviously like some people fake their hours, but you're not going to be that obvious and fake so many hours and make it look ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
People just fake them to get to 120, whereas I actually did all that driving. If I was faking hours, I wouldn't make it exorbitant amount.
And also, you like, their job is to test your driving, so they're obviously going to know.
Exactly. And it's like, and if you fake your hours, you're the one that's just missing out because you have less experience when you go for the test.
Literally.
So, yeah, but she looked at my hours, and within like 10 minutes of driving on the highway, usually you have a 20 minutes in that stage, I think.
Mm.
Within 10 minutes of driving on the highway, I had to pull into the middle of the highway from like the opposite side of the road. And so, thankfully, I went for my test at 9:45, so just after school traffic. That was so good for me to go at that time because there were barely any cars. I could cross the highway easily because sometimes I've had to wait at that intersection like 5 minutes before I'm able to cross safely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'd recommend trying and going out of school time if you can.
Or, like, in the dead middle of the day when there's no one
when there's no cars around.
Yeah, like not, like, 5 p.m. or, like, 8 a.m., like –
when it's going to be like a lot
kind of busy, especially like traffic going into the city, and then at in the evening traffic going out of the city.
Oh yes, and that's another thing. That other thing was going through the Vic Roads car park. It is, at least at my centre, it was 10 kilometres an hour.
Yeah.
So that is extremely, you think, oh, yeah, 10K, that's okay. That is like extremely slow.
Yeah.
I was going through, and when I was leaving the car park, It was pretty slow, but then at the, because at the start that we, at our centre at least, we have a car park near the front where they put all the people going for the test in their cars. So I didn't have that far to go out.
Did you go in, but did you do this car?
Yes, I did this car. That's another thing, is you can choose your car. They don't provide cars, so it's either your car or an instructor's car.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed a parent with you. You're only allowed an instructor.
Did you bring your instructor?
I didn't bring an instructor, so it was just me and the person. But, like, at the end, you have to drive to the customer car park. At least that was at the back for ours. And it was incredibly slow. And that's the other thing, is you need to be definitely under the speed limit. Because she couldn't see my speedometer from where she was sitting, she had to go and grab like a portable one that she could carry on her lap just to make sure she could see the speed. And because I was not 100% sure that they were the same speeds, I was going at like 8K through that car park.
Yeah.
And it probably took me like 2 minutes to reach the back of like this 100-meter, 200-meter drive.
Yeah.
It just took so long. And you feel like you're going so slow, but do not speed, because that is the easiest way for them to fail you. It'd be horrible if you, like, passed every other element of the
test. And then you went 11K an hour.
In the speeding, like, area, and you got fined.
Yeah.
Well, not fined, but, like, you didn't pass.
Failed, yeah. And then not only is it annoying that you didn't pass, but you also have to pay again.
Yes, exactly. And because it's $45 or something for the test. But then I thought that counted, like, for your license. If you pass, you then have to pay an extra $110 for your license.
Oh, my gosh.
With one of my friends, they got, like, you know, they paid for the test and stuff. And when they passed, they're like, oh, you need to pay this amount. And they're like, oh, no, I've already paid. And they're like, no, you haven't. And he's like, what? And so he had to pay. And so you have to pay an extra, like, $110 afterwards.
Yeah. So make sure you have money.
Yeah, make sure you have money with you. Yeah. Is a good idea. But, yeah, so it does cost a bit. So I would recommend trying passing the first time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't try to pass. But,
yes.
If that's not – if the emotional distress it would cause you is not enough to make you pass, think about the money you'd waste.
Exactly. And that's one of the other things, is, like, they usually don't – I feel like people stress a lot about it, and it is something to be stressed, like, about, but, like, don't – stress out too much, because they're there to help you. They're there to make sure that, like, to see.
I'm stressing already, so.
You're stressing already. I was stressing. But the main things are, literally, if you are just aware of other cars, so always look in your mirror, an indicator. You need to use the indicator for at least 5 seconds when moving away from the curb, which you will need to do at least once during the test, whether a reverse parallel park or they're pulling you over between stages.
Wait, so indicate for 5 seconds and then going.
Indicate for 5 seconds, check mirrors, and then going. And then, whereas when you're just changing lanes, you only need to indicate for at least three seconds. But yeah, that's another thing, is one of my friends, she went for her driver's test, and she'd only ever been told when they pull you over, you failed. And so she got pulled over halfway through her test, and she was like, oh my gosh, I failed. What have I done wrong? And they're like, you've passed stage one, you move on to stage two. So that's something to
that's
remember.
So stressful.
Once you've passed stage one, they will pull you over, at least every test I've heard of. They will pull you over, say you have passed stage one. They will show you if you have, like, any errors or anything. And then
Did you have any errors?
I don't think so. They'd ticked the 3-point turn, and she'd ticked everything else. I didn't see any critical errors or anything.
Yeah.
Did
she show you your results for afterwards? Like,
no, she didn't. I was wondering, because some people I know have, like, got percentages of how they passed, and I didn't find out my results. So I was like, I don't know what I got, but I passed.
You probably got 100%.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, most people get marked down for, like, not checking their mirrors enough.
Yeah.
Because they literally want you to just stare into the mirrors. They don't even
exactly.
want you to look at the road.
Exactly. They're literally, yeah, exactly. Don't do that. But, like, literally mirrors, just make everything, like, 10 times exaggerated.
Yeah.
Indicators for a bit longer. Speed limit, that's another thing, is if you're over the speed limit.
Go, like, 5K down.
Yeah, go 5K down, because if you're over the speed limit at all for more than 5 seconds, I think they will stop the test, or that gets, like, marked down. And if you're over the speed, if you're over 5K over the speed limit, they either stop the test or it gets, like, marked down significantly.
And probably.
I think it stops the test.
Yeah.
So just don't go, try not to go even on the speed limit.
Yeah.
Because, like, it could be the same thing with me, where they had to have a portable speedometer. And if that says any different from your car, it may be, like, you know,
a bit
79
off
on your car, but, like, 81 on the speedometer thing.
Yeah.
And if you don't realize and you go for more than 5 seconds, they might conclude the test there.
Yeah. And also, another thing I'd love to know, if anyone out there, because I'm going to be doing a manual test, if anyone out there knows, like, If you stall the car, is that a complete fail automatically? I'm like, I'm not worried about stalling the car because it doesn't really happen that often anymore, but I just like to know. Because, like, I mean, if you stall the car, but then it's, like, a good recovery. I mean, like, even my dad stalls it sometimes, and he's had his license for, like, I don't know, like, 30 years or something. So I don't know if it would be a complete fail.
I remember reading up on that. I don't think it is a complete fail, but I don't know for sure. You'd have to ask people. That's another thing is check out the VicRoads website beforehand and look at the things that are complete failures, because there's things, there are a few like things that can be that can stop the test immediately, and they'll get you to take you back to the center.
You get to drive back.
Yeah, I think you get to drive back, but you have to drive back to the center and they fail you. And there are immediate fails, that's what they are, and then there are critical errors, I think, which are not immediate fails,
but they
mark down a lot.
How many do you get, like, percent that you have to get over to pass?
I'm assuming so. I don't know what the percent is, though. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. So there's, like, elements as well that they look for in the test as well, like you checking your mirrors, you making lane changes safely, you using your blinker at the right times.
Yeah.
When you're even coming to the end of a street and you're turning left or right, making sure to not put it on too far in advance that it could be misleading to another driveway. Exactly. So you've just got to be careful not to be misleading with the blinkers, but to use them adequate timing and not just turning them on the second you're turning into that lane.
Yeah. Now, we did get a few questions.
Yes.
Most of them not very serious questions, but we will briefly go over them.
Wow. So, if the light, we've got one that says, if the light goes yellow, does that mean I put the foot down on the go fast pedal? That is something that I did not do in my test, thankfully. If the light goes yellow, try, if possible, if you are far enough, a safe distance away from the lights, try braking. Obviously not making sure that the car behind you isn't right up your back. And
it definitely is something that you just have to use your common sense and get used to. Like, if you're, like,
speeding
about to get into it, you obviously have to.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm driving, my dad taught me this thing where it's, like, you've made your decision kind of line.
Oh.
So if you're I can't really describe it without, like, actually driving and showing people. But, like, if you're a certain distance away from the light and it's green and you pass this certain point and then you say to yourself, no going back.
Yeah.
And then it turns yellow, you would continue going. And I think a key thing is that I'm not very experienced with this. So I'm not.
You've got 100.
Okay. But, like, I'm not, like.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyways, I think a main thing is if you are accelerating to get before the red light, mm-hmm. that's a no-go.
Yeah.
Like, if you're keeping your foot on the accelerator and doing the same speed you were doing
to go
around the corner or, like, straight or whatever. Excuse me. But if you have to accelerate to quickly get through, stop.
Yeah. And that's something that I did in my test was, you know, the yellow light happened and I could have accelerated, but I braked, thank goodness, because usually my instincts just do one or the other. And sometimes if I put my foot down on the accelerator, I just start going and I'm like, well, I've started going now, I can't brake.
Yeah. And the other thing is that if you're the one driving, it is up to you because the supervisor, whether it's your parent or friend or, like, in the actual test, if you start going and they say stop, the reaction time is too long. So ultimately you make the decision, which I think is, like, one of the hard things about being a learner when, like, for something like that. Because most things they can say, like, oh, stop, or, like, you know, turn here, or, like, move your wheel a bit or whatever. But ultimately, in that split second of a moment, you have to make the decision on what's safest.
Yeah. And, like, I've been at intersections before, like, waiting to cross a road or something, where one of my parents at the start of me driving would speak up and be like, go now.
But
my other parent actually told them off and was like, no, you can't say that, because by the time it takes her to react, it may not be safe. And she needs to make the decision. You're not going to be there on the test saying, go now.
Yeah.
She's the one in control of the car. You need to, obviously, we would say stop if it's, like,
if it's dangerous to
go. But, like, you need to not say go, and she can go when she feels safe.
And I think something else that is interesting is obviously a supervisor, which is often a parent or a friend or something, they have so many experienced hours that often, like, my dad in particular found it hard to teach me to drive manual because he didn't know how to explain it, because he just knew how to do it, but he couldn't really describe it to someone or like he did, obviously. Like, yeah. I know how to drive it now. But I think it – what was my point with that?
Sometimes they've been driving so long that it's hard for them to explain it and they just want to kind of, like, tell you what to do and when to go as if they're driving.
And, yeah, and also sometimes you will notice things that they don't notice.
Yeah. Oh!
Like, sometimes if you're driving or even if your parent is driving and you're sitting there and you're like, stop, there's literally a car coming around the roundabout that they didn't even see. And I think that's kind of annoying sometimes because I'm like, Dad, you have to stop. This is a stoplight. Or like, Dad, you didn't use your indicator.
Indicators.
So annoying. And so I think it's about keeping notice of things.
Yeah.
Like even your entire surroundings, but also not dismissing your supervisor because they obviously know what they're talking about.
But, like, yeah, and I think even as you – because they say that L platers are usually some of the safest drivers because they're the ones that are most cautious.
Most cautious,
Once you move to your red P's, that most is the dangerous. One where all the accidents happen. So that's why – because you think you know everything.
Yeah.
But you don't. And so that's where I'm sitting at currently is I'm a red P plater. And because I've just got my license, I'm driving by myself. But at the same time, there are some things that I don't notice. But I found that I'm still a lot more aware – then sometimes, like my dad, like we were driving along the highway once and we came up this hill and it turned to 80 kilometers from 60 kilometers. And so I started speeding up and he was like, no, the 80K sign's not till down here. I was like, we literally just passed one. Like there's two of them in a row. And he's like, no, there's not. I drive up this hill every day. I'm like, yes, I drive up this hill every week. I physically just saw the 80 sign. Like, it is, I don't care that you've driven up it every day. You haven't. When we came back up that a week later, I literally pointed out to him. I was like, see, there is the first 80 kilometer sign. Okay?
So he's probably been 30 seconds late to work every day.
Oh, exactly.
He hasn't noticed the sign.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's something important. What other questions?
I was going to say something.
Oh, can you remember? I've got another good question here I can answer while we wait, which is when you go around the corner, do you do the speed limit or the recommended limit? I think this also applies to speed bumps because there's always like a 20K sign next to speed bumps.
Someone goes 20Ks.
Yeah.
It's very slow.
I slow down, but the problem was I used to slow down when I was on top of the bump. So I'd get to the bump and kind of slow down and Dad's like, you can't slow down on top of the bump, Sarah. You need to slow down beforehand, which is something. And that I think also applies with corners. You need to slow down before you get to the corner, not as you're going around because you could spin out.
And I think also the thing to keep in mind is when I was first a learner and I would go around because I go around a lot of sharp corners because I go around like a hilly way to get to school, and so my dad would be like, oh, it says 40k in the yellow sign, go 40k at least or slower. But now that I go around that corner every single day, I actually go a lot faster because I know what to expect. I know how sharp the corner is. I know like everything like
what
that
points to slow down.
Obviously I still keep aware because there could be new cars.
Yeah.
But I also think because when you go into a corner, you obviously have to slow down before because when you're coming out of the corner, you have to accelerate to actually get out of the corner.
Mm.
So basically, if you're a new driver, I would say you should go the yellow, the recommended. But then once you're experienced.
And once you've been around that path for a while and you know what to expect.
Yeah.
But that's also something to be aware of is when going around corners and stuff, to be aware of traffic that might be piling up around the corner. So just be aware at times. Even like sometimes I've noticed when driving on highways is it might not look backed up and the car in front of me might be going fast, but he might be like right behind another car. There are times where you see cars right behind other cars. If that first car breaks and the second car, it will brake straight away. But if I'm too close behind that second car, I might not brake quick enough.
Mm.
And, like, you know, that could be a three-car pile-up. So it just being aware of that. I think the last question we will answer is, Sarah, where is your first trip going to be? So my first trip, I went straight from my driving test to work and because my mum was with me going to the driving test because obviously you can't drive by yourself till you pass the test.
Did she leave?
She had to – well, no, because she didn't have another car because we both were in the same car. So she had to drop me back at work. Well, like I drove to work and then she took the car and then it came back and brought me the car and, you know, we drove home. And then I got changed. It'd been a bit of a day and I had, like, stuff all over my clothes. So I got changed once I got home, finally finished work.
Because you had Maccas.
Because I had Maccas and – I went on a little drive because, you know, I wanted to drive somewhere and I had to drive myself to work the next day. So I was like, well, I just want to make sure that, you know, I can drive somewhere by myself.
Yeah.
And so I drove around the beach and then I went and visited one of my friends who works at Macca's through his Macca's drive-thru and surprised him. So that was really funny to see his reaction. But I also didn't know what to get when I went through drive-thru because I'm like, I've literally been working at Macca's all day. I don't want Macca's, but I need an excuse to go through drive-thru. So my first drive was to go get a frozen Coke on a Macca's run, which I think sums me up perfectly.
That definitely sums Sarah up in a nutshell. I just want to know what I was going to say. I just want to drive.
Don't know. We can always wrap it up. And if Eliza remembers, we can put a little story out on our Instagram.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for listening to our driving advice podcast. We hope it helped you. We might do another one of these when Eliza becomes a P-plater and I will be
almost a
green plater by then. We might have learned a few more little stuff. Let us know if you have any more questions that weren't answered.
You can DM us and we can answer you. We can send a video. We can pop it on our stories as a video or a text or like literally and just message us or email us at letsoverchatpodcast@gmail.com with things you need advice on and we'll give you our advice.
And we can do those anonymously as well if you need. But
yeah,
thank you guys for listening and let's have a chat with you next week.